Open your Bibles, if you would,
to Matthew chapter 27. We'll be reading that little portion again that Brother Brian read. I had Brother Brian read that portion to set the tone for what the message is all about. The name of the message is Christ is Risen. And note in verses 62 and 64, what our dear brother read there. Here's these Pharisees, these religious Pharisees. What do? They come before Pilate and they ask that a guard be placed at the tomb of Christ, because they remembered that Christ had said that he'd rise again in 3 days. And look at the feeble attempts of man. Here we go. The feeble attempts of man. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that this deceiver, Christ never said a word. Christ never lied. He was sinless. Everything he said was truth. But see, here's these men. They don't want to lose their grip on power. They got some power, and they don't want to lose. Nothing's changed, has it? Nothing's changed, beloved. And said, well, he was yet alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Well, who's speaking that? The God man. They didn't have no clue who he was. No. So here they go. They go to Pilate, and they said, command that the sepulcher be made sure. And that word secure there in the Greek is secure. Make it secure. So that no one, and they would set a seal on it so that they'd know if someone broke the seal or went in or in out. Right? Until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. Well, they're afraid his disciples are going to come take his body. So let's set this watch of man. And these are Roman soldiers. These are not mere soldiers. These are professional soldiers. These legionnaires have been through many battles. They're professional. They take their job extremely serious. Extremely serious. Made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he's risen from the dead. So they think now they think the disciples are going to deceive folks. They have no clue. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Now, lest we be too hard on these folks, we'd have been the same way before the Lord saved us. Pilate said to them, you have a watch. Okay, there's a group of men. Go. Make it as sure or as secure as you can. Oh, so here they go. I see them guys. Let's go. Right? They're just puffing out their chests. Let's go. We're going to make this sure. Oh my. The feeble attempts of man. The feeble attempts of man to thwart God. My, oh my. And here we see the wicked devices of men, don't we? The wicked devices of men. And we're taught again that this is us in our natural state. This is where we came from. Don't forget the rock we were hewn from. And these men, they were unhappy religious men. Religious people are never happy. I know because I was one of them. Never happy. Never happy at all. Always something, always either something somebody else is doing wrong or, well, never themselves, right? Oh, my. You know what the problem is? They got their eyes on each other and they don't have their eyes on Christ. The preacher's got his eyes on the congregation. The congregation's got their eyes on one another. No one's looking to Christ. Oh, there's trouble there, isn't there? And we can tell they're unhappy. Look in verse 63 again, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, well, he was yet alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Again, Christ never sinned. He wasn't a deceiver. He only told the truth. He went about doing good. My, oh my. So men here thought that they would stop the resurrection. He said, I'll rise again. Here's man's attempt to thwart the resurrection. Well, we're gonna get us a guard of Roman soldiers. They're tough men. And they kill anyone who come near that tomb. Hardened professional soldiers. By the time we talked, you had mentioned that they were the first professional soldiers of the Roman army. They were. They were strict discipline. They were if you want to say an excellent soldier, they were an excellent soldier. My, oh my. And here they are. Pilate sends them a guard of Roman soldiers to set a watch over the tomb, and they made the sepulcher as secure as they could. But they really thought little about what they were doing. You know what they were actually doing? They were actually providing the most complete truth of Christ's resurrection. There was a group of men who were witnesses to an angel coming down from heaven. Oh my, they were making it impossible to prove that there was any deception at all. Isn't that incredible? God was thwarting them in using their evil for his good and for his glory. All their precautions were to become witnesses to the fact that Christ had risen from the grave. And he did this. You know why? Because the scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. That's what he's doing right here. He's taking these guys who think they're so wise, and he's just turning the tables on them. And the church is full of examples of similar kinds. Sometimes things look so bad for the church, and they're often turned out to be for the church's good. Think of the persecution that arose because of Stephen. What happened? What happened after Stephen died and the Christians, what happened? They just fled in different directions. What happened to the gospel? Whoosh. It's like when you stomp in a fire. What happens? Sparks just fly in every direction, don't they? See, the foot of persecution fell, and the believers just spread in all different directions with the gospel, all by God's purpose and plan. What harm did Paul's imprisonment do? Now, he was probably uncomfortable, but what harm did it do? He wrote several books of the Bible in prison. God took what man meant for evil and used it for good, beloved. By his own divine hand. My, oh my. Again, persecution will always cause us to draw close to Christ. Always. Always cause us to draw close to Christ. In time of our need, our greatest need, we flee to Christ. When we've exhausted our own efforts, which we all do, right? Then we look to Christ. God, give me grace to not exhaust my efforts and just look to you in the first place. That's what I need to learn. My, oh my. So we seek refuge during persecution in Christ. And we find comfort in the scriptures, don't we? In times of persecution or times of suffering. So take courage. Take courage by these things. A dear saint of old was in prison for heresy, and his body was thrown to a pack of wild dogs who ate him completely. But what happened to his soul, beloved? It was in the presence of the Lord. They can kill the body, right? But they can't destroy the soul. They can't destroy the soul. My, oh my. And soon we'll all see the picture how God can make the wrath of man praise him, Psalm 76:10 says. And he does that. He did that there, didn't he? He provided proof of the resurrection that by what those men did in their craftiness and their he turned their evil into good. My, oh my. Now let's read Matthew 28. Let's read some 10 verses in Matthew 28. Our Lord Jesus, he had died on the cross. He really died. gave up the ghost. Gave up the ghost. And he was placed in a borrowed tomb. Tomb of a rich man. He died and was buried. And here we have set before us the resurrection of our great God and King, our Savior. Do you know why death couldn't hold Christ? He had no sin. Death can't hold the sinless one. Can't hold him. He's perfect. He's sinless in his life and what? He's sinless in his death, isn't he? He's absolutely sinless. Look at this. The great resurrection of the great Savior of sinners. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And what happened to those Roman soldiers, those professional soldiers, right, who had faced many in battle, had saw the Gauls probably come before them? And when them Gauls came before those Roman soldiers, they were painted all up. Warriors running towards them. Well, that, yeah. They'd face them, but look what happens when they see an angel. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. They couldn't move. They were so terrified that they could not move. They couldn't move. We'd be the same way. And the angel said unto the woman, "Fear ye not ye." Look at that. Didn't say it to the soldiers, but he said it to the woman. You know why? Because they're one of God's sheep. "Fear ye not. Fear ye not. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." He's not here. He's not here. No, he's risen. He's risen. As he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." Now, you know all these religions in the world? You've got Islam, which has Muhammad. He's still in a grave. China, in China, they have Confucius and all that. He's still in the grave. Buddha, he's in the grave. All these man-made religions. Mormonism, Smith's in the grave. Right? There was a woman that supposedly was buried. I can't remember what her name was. She came up with some religion and she was buried with a telephone. That telephone never rang. Right? Supposedly she's buried with a telephone so she can talk to people after the grave. That phone never rang. And she's dead still to this day. I think it was Mary Baker someone. Mary Baker Eddy, I think it was. She's still dead. Beloved, our King who we follow, he's risen. The grave is empty. It's empty. He's risen. He went back home. He came down from heaven, didn't he? He died and was buried. And now he's ascended back home, back to glory. Oh, it's wonderful. Because he's the head and we're the body, right? Oh, he's gone. Look at that. He's not here. For he's risen, as he said. "Come see the place where the Lord lay." Come and see. Not secret. Come on, go in and see. No secret here. Go see the tomb. Oh. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Beloved, our Savior's risen. You know, you guys know I used to be a Catholic, and you know they worship a Christ who's still on the cross. They have him hanging on the cross. That's not the real Christ. Christ is risen, beloved. He's gone home. It's amazing. Remember in John 17, he said he's praying that he'd be with the Father again. Here it is. That prayer is fulfilled. He's risen. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. You're going to see him again. Well, what'd they do? And they departed quickly. Oh, they took off. There's smoke falling them. They're going to run. They want to tell their brothers. Oh, my. And they went to tell the disciples, look at this. Behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, look at this, be not afraid. That's what he tells every believer. Let that sink into our hearts. Be not afraid. Beloved, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And they did, didn't they? He appeared unto them. So we have set here before us in this text the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of our great Savior, beloved. The resurrection of the Savior of sinners from the grave. And all four writers describe minutely how our Lord was crucified and very clearly how he rose again from the grave. And why did he rise again from the grave? To show that God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. Scripture says he rose for our what? Our justification. Isn't that? That's good news. That's wonderful news for sinners. That's the best news sinners are ever going to hear. My, oh my. This is so important because it's the resurrection is the seal of the great important work that Christ had done, which was to come to save us from our sins. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the crowning proof that he has paid the debt, the sin debt that we owed. It's proof that he paid it, which we owed to the law of God. Remember the handwriting of ordinance that was against us? Oh, how long it was. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and that was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Oh, my. Crowning proof that Christ has paid the sin debt for his people. He won the battle, beloved. He accomplished the mission that he was sent to do. Scripture says, he shall not fail. He didn't fail. It's finished. Come see where the Lord lay. He's not here. He's risen. He's risen. You know, if he rose not, then how could we be sure that our ransom had been fully paid? We couldn't be sure then, could we? We couldn't be sure. Had he never risen from the grave, then our conflict with our last enemy would still occur. Do you know he conquered all our enemies? Think of this. The law of God was our enemy, wasn't it? Oh, it had a claim on us. It had a claim. It had a rightful claim on me. Oh, Wayne, the soul that sinneth, it must die. You must die, Wayne, for your sins. Well, I can't pay my. I can't pay one sin. And put yourself in where my name was there. The justice of God has a full claim on us, right? God's justice says it must be satisfied. And I'll tell you why. God's law and justice is either satisfied in the Savior or in the sinner. I praise God that the law and justice to me was satisfied in the Savior and by the Savior. My, oh my. That was our enemy. The law and justice of God were our enemy. And then he delivered us. Our sins was a great enemy to us, wasn't they? Still are, eh? In the flesh, but they're bought and paid for. But our sins were a great enemy. Can't pay for one of them. Christ paid for them all. And then, last enemy is death. Death's our enemy. You know, I used to be terrified of death before the Lord saved me. I'll tell you, I was terrified. I'm not afraid anymore. Now, I know, we all tremble, and we're going to tremble at the hour of our death. But I'll tell you what, God will give us dying grace. We don't need it right now. But when we do, he'll give it to us. You ever notice when you get something done, maybe you go in the hospital, the peace that you have? Can't explain it, can you? Can't explain it. Okay, Lord. If I die while I'm under the anesthetic, I'm going home to be with you. I have peace. You all know what happened to me a few weeks back. I had a peace. Just, okay, Lord. Can't explain it, but I had it. My, oh my. So we're to be patient, aren't we, beloved? We're to be patient in these days of trouble, which is all around us. But our Lord he's overcome the law, which was our enemy. He overcome the law of God. He's overcome the justice of God. He's overcome the wrath of God. That was against us too, wasn't it? Now, this is the part that just, this is the part of the crucifixion that just really, to think that which was due for my sins, because I'm a sinner. Even now I'm saved, I'm a sinner, but all before too, all my, the things I said, the things I've done. And to think that wrath that was due me fell on him. It was due me. What love. And the wrath that he bore for you was due you too. What love drove our Savior to go to that cross. And you know, here I picture it like a soldier. You know, here we are. The Roman soldiers used to have these big shields, and they'd hide behind these shields. They go behind these shields. That's what it's like. We're tucked in behind him, and he's bearing it all, beloved. All the wrath, all the beating due us, all the wrath of God just beat upon him, beloved. Think of the ark, right? The wrath of God is pictured as the rain and the wind and all that just beat and battered the ark, didn't it? But not a drop of rain fell upon those in the ark. And that's true of us, beloved. Man, he bore all that for us. What love he has for us. What love. My. And he overcame all that. He overcame the law of God for us. He overcame the justice of God. He overcame the wrath of God. I remember hearing one old preacher say, that he extinguished, and you hear me often say that, he extinguished the wrath of God. You know when we extinguish a fire, there's still smoke? There wasn't even smoke coming off this. He so extinguished the wrath of God that there's no smoke like there would be after a fire. It's gone, beloved, against us. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what love. And then now we see in our text, he's overcoming our last enemy, death. Death has no more sting for us, Paul wrote. Right? We go from this life to the next, for us, into great joy. Unspeakable joy. I remember when a dear friend of mine, a dear brother in Oregon, passed away. And it was so hard on me. He's one of my right arms out there, and he's just a dear fella. He'd been saved out of Mormonism. He was an older fella in his 70s, and he'd been saved out of Mormonism, and he found us, and he fellowshiped with us by the grace of God. He was led to us. He heard Don Fortner talking about a church in Central Point, and boom, next thing you know, he starts coming. And he was with us for 5 years. It was so wonderful. And I remember I really missed him, and I still do. I have a picture of him in my study even today, and just a dear brother. And I remember Norm Wells telling me, "Brother, you wouldn't want him coming back. You wouldn't want him coming back as much as you miss him." And then he said something that made me chuckle. He goes, "He ain't worried about you, Wayne. God's saints up there ain't worried about us. They're so consumed with Christ. They're so enamored with Christ. And one day, we who are the blood-washed saints of God are going to join our beloved brethren who went before us." I think of Calvin and Marge. My. Brother Richard, Sister Irene, Sister Denise. My. We're going to see him again by the grace of God. Oh, it'll be Brother Wayne. Yeah. My. Brother Joel, we're going to see them again. We're going to see them. Brother Jim, we're going to see them face to face with our Savior. It'll be wonderful, beloved. It'll be amazing. Absolutely amazing. Turn, if you would, just quick to Romans 4, but keep your finger in Matthew 22. We're going to be going right back there. Look what it says here in Romans 4, verses 24 and 25, speaking of the Lord's death, and then speaking of his resurrection. Romans 4, 24 and 25. Oh, death has no more sting. Look at this. "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead." Look at this. "Who was delivered for our offenses." So Christ was delivered for our offenses. He's sinless, right? But he's delivered our offenses, our sins. He's delivered. And think of this. God the Father sent him to die for us. Sent him to die for us. And he was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, wasn't he? Yes, he was. And it says there, delivered for our offenses, the sinless one, delivered for our offenses. Oh, it doesn't end there, though. Doesn't end there. That's good news enough, isn't it? But look at this. "And was raised again for our justification." Oh, hallelujah. "That we might stand in the presence of God, beloved, clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ, and be looked upon by God just as if we never sinned." My, what a miracle. What a miracle of God's grace. Praise be to God. The Lord Jesus Christ really did rise from the grave. And the scriptures tell us that. And it says here, he rose for our justification. That's good news. That is good news for sinners. And Paul had a lively hope, right? He is born again by the Holy Spirit into a lively hope. So are we. We have a living hope? See? As I said, all those religions, you can trace them back to a man in a grave. We have a living hope. He's risen. He's not here. He's not in the grave. He's risen. Where is he? At the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? Interceding for you and I as believers. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's our Savior. That's our Savior. My. And this wonderful truth that he's raised for our justification was proved by him rising from the grave. My, oh my. I'd like to consider 4 points quickly from this text. The first point is the glory and majesty with which the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Look at verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone door and sat upon it. Note, there was a great earthquake. And note also, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Those soldiers, could you imagine they're standing there guard, and all of a sudden they'd been terrified. Remember one angel of the Lord, I just was listening to it the other day in Sermon Donnie was preaching, destroyed 180,000 men. Could you imagine being part of a great Syrian army? You go to bed, and there's like 250,000 of you. You wake up the next day, 180,000 of you are dead. Oh my. One angel did that. One. And here's this angel come down. These men are terrified. They're so afraid, they're like statues. Oh, and our Lord, our Savior, God in the flesh, he did not need any help from any angel. For it's certain that he would rise again. But it pleased God that his resurrection would be followed by signs and wonders. And it seemed good that the earth should shake and a glorious angel appear when he rose. Remember, he's risen, beloved, as the great conqueror of the enemies of his people. He's conquered the law of God for us. He's conquered the justice of God for us. He's conquered our sins. And now he's conquering death for us. Oh, my. Oh, it's wonderful, beloved. My, death couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. He's the sinless one. He's raised for our justification. Grave couldn't hold him. And you know what? It couldn't hold him beyond the appointed time. See, God had appointed a time. Remember, he appointed a time for his birth? He appointed a time for his death? And he's appointed a time for his resurrection, hasn't he? Do you know that God's appointed a time for our birth? He did. We were born at the exact time that God ordained. We're going to die at the exact time that God ordains, and we're going to be in the glory and splendor of heaven at the exact time that God ordains. Oh, Lord, give me, help my unbelief, as Peter cried out, right? Oh, my. Oh, my. Glorious angel was witness of his rising. And he rose with a renewed body, beloved. Body real and true and material, but a glorious body, which we will have one day. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. But again, keep your finger in Matthew chapter 28. Let us take comfort that during this time of trial and sorrow and weariness of this world and pain, those things can often wear down this earthly tabernacle, can't it? Sister, we were talking about our bodies getting sore and stuff now, more so now that we're older, right? It's true. These bodies, they wear down. We can't do what we used to do. And we often are in pain and sometimes sorrow and weariness. But soon we'll be in glory with our great King, beloved. Soon we'll have a glorified body. So let us wait patiently. We'll have a glorious resurrection too. Oh my. When we die, when we're buried, you know, you often hear people say, don't weep for me. You know, I know we do weep. We weep for one another because of the loss that we feel. But remember, that's just a shell. The soul's in glory. The soul's in glory. But we do weep for our loved ones. Oh, it's hard. It's hard. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He's speaking to believers here. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when it's all over. See, this is a very, it's not a secret thing, is it? It's a very public thing. Religion speaks of a secret rapture. Well, the coming of the Lord is very public. It is public, beloved. Look at this. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. Look at that. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Christ conquered both those things, didn't he? For us. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look at that. My. Next point I'd like us to consider from this text is the terror which Christ's enemies felt at the time of his resurrection. Let's read Matthew 28, verses 2 to 4. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So he didn't just descend down. He came down and he rolled that stone away. That stone that had been made secure by the Romans. He just rolled it away. It's nothing. And then he sits on it. It's not no little small stone. This is a great, big, huge stone. He just sits on top of it. My, oh my. And look at this. His countenance was like a lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, he didn't even say a word to them. As far as we know, he didn't even say a word. He just came down, he rolled that stone away, and now he's just sitting on it. And here these guys, like I said, they're professional soldiers, beloved. Not much makes them afraid. Or if they do get afraid, they just don't admit it a whole lot. Look at this. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, these guys were used to dreadful sights on the battlefield. They were seasoned soldiers. And they saw a sight. They saw a sight which made their courage melt. When they saw this angel, their courage just melted away. And they're standing there. They can't move. Ever been so scared you couldn't move? There it is. And this is the type of things to come. What will the ungodly and wicked do in the last day? What will they do when the trump of God sounds? What will they do when they see all the dead coming forth from the graves? What will they do when they're assembled before the great throne of judgment and see Christ sitting upon his throne? What will they do? Will they pop off like they do now on earth? They're going to be just like these soldiers, beloved. They're going to be just like these soldiers here. They're going to become as dead men, just standing there. They won't be able to say a word. They'll be silenced. What fears and terrors will possess them when they at last meet the God who they denied, or the God who they cursed, or the God who they scoffed at? What terrors shall behold them? And oh, that man might remember that there is a resurrection and a judgment, and that there is such a thing as the wrath of God. See, people don't talk a lot about that anymore. We as believers know about the wrath of God, don't we? Because it fell upon our Savior in our place. See, it has to be satisfied. And as I said, the old timers used to say it'll be either satisfied in the substitute or it'll be satisfied in the sinner. Oh, that's why we preachers say now's the accepted day. Now's the day of salvation. Flee to Christ. There's no hope once you die. There's no purgatory. That's just something man made up to get more money. That's all that is. That's all that is. My. Revelation says this, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains, fall on us. Fall on us. This is how terrified they are. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? No one. And the only difference between we who are the sheep at that great day when God divides the sheep and the goats, notice who's doing the dividing? It's God who's made us differ. Only God. Only God, beloved. Next, the third point I'd like to consider is the words of comfort which the angel addressed to the friends of Christ. Let's read verses 5 to 8 of Matthew chapter 28. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear ye not. Look at that. What beautiful words. Fear ye not. Remember David with Mephibosheth? Fear not, Mephibosheth. Fear not. I made a covenant with your father before you were even born. God made a covenant, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, before we were even born. Right? And because of that, we hear these words. Fear not ye. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. I know you come to see him, but he's not here. He's risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord laid. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And then they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples words. What comforting words. Fear ye not. Let's take that to heart, beloved, for us. God says to us in Christ, fear ye not. You don't have anything to fear. Now, we're in awe of his holiness, aren't we? We are. And we tremble at who he is. But it's not fear, right? Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that happens to us, doesn't it? And we are in awe of him. But the fear is not a slavish fear. It's one of awe of who God is. He's the holy and the righteous one. And these words of comfort fall from the lips of this angel. Fear. Fear you not. Oh, what comfort. So rejoice, beloved of God. The Lord has put away our sins. He has put away our sins. They are never to be remembered by God anymore. Now we remember them, don't we? Sometimes they keep us awake. But I'll tell you, when that happens, when those things happen, because they happen to all of us, when we're reminded of the things that we had done in the past, just lay them at the feet of Christ. Lord, you bought this and paid for it. You bought it and paid for it, Lord. I'm just going to trust in what you've done. You paid for my sins. Right? We confess our sins still to the Lord, don't we? My. But these, think of what these words did for these women. They're going to the tomb. They're walking. I imagine if they're talking, they're going there. They were probably talking, oh, we're going to go, you know, take care of the Lord's body. And they get there, and there's Roman soldiers frozen like statues, because they haven't went anywhere, have they? That angel's still there. They ain't going nowhere. And then they see this angel. He's sitting on top of this rock. I don't know if he had his arms covered. Well, he's just sitting on top of a rock. And this is a big rock. And he says, fear ye not. I know you seek Christ, but he's not here. He's risen. And you know what? If you don't believe me, go and see yourself. Go look. Go look. Oh, my. But, oh. And you know, when we read these words, we find that we really have no cause for alarm no matter what will come against us in this world. Remember Wednesday night we looked at Jesus prayed for me? Jesus prayed for us? John 17 says the Lord prayed for his people. God, the God-man prayed. Each believer can say the God-man prayed for me. Why should I fear the things that come in this world if Christ prayed for me? Now I know we still do. I'm not at all saying that we won't do that, because we do. I'm telling you that now when that comes about for me, I'm like, Lord, you prayed for me. Why am I, you know, David said, why? And listen to the words of David. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquiet in me? So people who say that believers don't get anxious and don't get depressed, they don't even know what they're talking about. Here's David. Here's David saying, right? Why is my soul disquieted in me? And then he says, hope thou on God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hope. He reminds himself, soul, hope in God. Hope in God. So we should remind ourselves, soul, Jesus prayed for you. We all talk to ourselves, so that's not, you know, I'm not saying anything new there, right? So, but no, really, we should, though. Well, shouldn't we? Soul, Christ prayed for me. And David was talking within himself when he said that. Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. My. This is what we need. This is why we need to keep our eyes on Christ and not on the things going on in the world. And the Lord shall come back. He will come up. He's going to come back. And you know what? This whole world's going to burn up. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. My, oh my. I remember telling my daughter. She's talking to me about the planet and all that. Being good steward. And I said, yeah, we should be good stewards. I said, but it's all going to burn up, honey. And it will. It will. This is God's world. He can do with this world whatever he pleases. Now this world, this old world's sin cursed, isn't it? But there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Isn't that amazing when you think about that? Oh, I can't even enter. The scripture says that, but it just makes my brain fizz. But it's true. I believe it because God says it, right? So praise be to God, our Savior. Our Savior. Our Savior has paid everything that God demanded for our souls. There's no more judgment for God's people because our judgment fell upon Christ. So rejoice, my dear brethren, in the resurrection of Christ. And do not be afraid of what's to come, because it's God who will keep us from falling. And he will one day present us. Christ is going to one day present us before the throne of God, faultless and without blame. Faultless and without blame. But I got so much sin, and I'm still a sinner. And I know what I did in the past, and oh my goodness. Faultless. Blameless. See, this is what gets believers excited, isn't it? The fact that Christ loved me so much that he died for my sins. That he paid it all. I'm such an undeserving worm. And yet he went. Here he goes to the cross. Henry Mahan used to say, I like this analogy, and I know we don't like maggots, right? Nobody likes maggots. But he said, God reached down in the dunghill of this world and said, that maggot's mine. That maggot's mine. Saved by grace. Isn't that wonderful? I don't mind people calling me a maggot, because I'm a saved maggot. Right? I am. My goodness. I'll tell you what. And the Lord's words will be filled one day. Listen to this. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Our redemption draweth nigh, beloved. And then the wicked will see, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people with whom he has chosen for his inheritance. They'll see that. Because here we will be, the sheep of God, by nothing we've done. My goodness, ushered into eternity with Christ. And let us consider the fourth and last point. I know I went long today, I'm sorry. The fourth and last point. The gracious message which the Lord sent the disciples after his resurrection. Look what he says here in verses 8 to 10. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. I like this, how the Lord stops them, though. Look at this. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them. There's the Lord. Oh, what love flooded into their souls at the appearance of Christ. He's risen. He's right now. He's before us. He's alive. He's alive. And look, they did what all of us would do. And they came and held him by their feet and worshipped him. I imagine they were crying. Oh, Lord, you're alive. You're alive. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Oh, they're sinners. Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. He appeared to the women first, and he gave them these glad tidings to carry to the disciples. Go tell my brethren. And these men, his brethren, were weak and frail, and Aaron, and he called. Remember, Peter denied him three times. Go tell my brethren. Thomas, we know Thomas is going to doubt him. Go tell my brethren. See, our salvation is not dependent upon us, is it? It's dependent upon Christ. Oh, what comfort we see here. He comforts them. And they had yielded to the fear of man, which all of us would have. And yet he still calls them brethren. Go tell my brethren. Oh, my. So let we who are the redeemed of the word, let we who are the redeemed of the Lord take comfort with these two words, my brethren. and may we trust him and not be afraid. Our Savior pities our infirmities, beloved. He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He knows. He knows our infirmities. He knows our weakness. And let us never forget, as we see here, that our great high priest is our elder brother. He's our elder brother. So rejoice, you who are the people of God. We who are the people of God. Let's lift up Christ in our hearts. He's risen. He's not dead. He's alive. The one you seek is no longer here. He's risen. There's an empty tomb. And you know what? You got Roman statues that are witnesses to that, right? They won't be statues for long, because once the angel leaves, they were. But notice, the people of God weren't terrified.